Trump approves Saudi uranium enrichment as Iran tensions escalate nuclear risks. President Donald Trump has approved a nuclear cooperation agreement that would permit Saudi Arabia to enrich uranium on its own soil for the first time, according to two sources with direct knowledge of the decision. The 30-year accord, expected to be announced as early as Wednesday, arrives as U.S. and Israeli forces launch their 11th consecutive night of strikes against Iran, creating a paradox that will test congressional tolerance for proliferation risk in a region already sliding toward nuclear multipolarity. The agreement allows for construction of a uranium enrichment facility in Saudi Arabia following a joint U.S.-Saudi feasibility study, with American firms expected to play central roles in developing the kingdom's civilian nuclear program. Deal terms are expected to go to Congress for mandatory review within days. The kingdom remains a member state of the International Atomic Energy Agency, but the agreement notably omits the additional protocol, the enhanced monitoring framework that nonproliferation experts consider essential for verifying peaceful intent. Energy Secretary Chris Wright visited Saudi Arabia last year shortly before Trump's state visit to discuss commercial nuclear buildout with his Saudi counterpart, laying groundwork for the accord now coming to fruition. Neither the White House nor Saudi officials in Riyadh responded to requests for comment on the decision, first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The timing is incendiary. The deal surfaces while Secretary of State Marco Rubio simultaneously tells regional partners the U.S. remains open and willing to engage in positive and constructive negotiations with Iran, yet accuses Tehran of failing to take talks seriously. Speaking at an Association of Southeast Asian Nations meeting in Manila on Wednesday, Rubio framed the ongoing U.S.-Iran conflict around freedom of navigation in the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran now controls through force. If we create a precedent in the Middle East where a nation-state can decide that they are going to control an international waterway, charge a toll, and if you don't pay them, blow up your ships, we have created a very dangerous precedent, Rubio said. That same day, Trump renewed threats to strike Iran's nuclear facilities at Natanz pretty soon, prompting Tehran's Qatem al-Anbiya military command to warn it would consider it as an expansion of war in the region and target all the interests of America, its allies and supporters. 50 people have been killed in the conflict to date, with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth facing criticism after revealing the war has cost $37 billion. The enrichment dilemma, capability versus intent uranium enrichment, sits at the fault line of nonproliferation policy. The same centrifuge technology that produces low-enriched uranium for power reactors can, with additional spinning, generate weapons-grade material. The United Arab Emirates set what experts call the gold standard when it signed its own 123 agreement with the U.S. to build the Barakah nuclear power plant with South Korean assistance, explicitly foregoing enrichment capability. Saudi Arabia is now choosing a different path. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has publicly stated he would pursue an atomic weapon if Iran obtains one, making the question of enrichment capability more than academic. The Biden administration attempted to negotiate a nuclear deal with Riyadh, but could not bridge the enrichment gap. Trump has now closed that gap, betting that U.S. involvement in the program provides sufficient oversight to prevent weaponization. That bet faces immediate stress tests. Saudi Arabia and nuclear-armed Pakistan signed a mutual defense pact after Israel launched attacks on Qatar targeting Hamas officials. Pakistan's defense minister subsequently declared his nation's nuclear program will be made available to Saudi Arabia if needed, a direct warning to Israel, long believed to be the Middle East's only nuclear-armed state. The comment reveals an already active conversation about nuclear umbrellas and extended deterrence in the Gulf, one that enrichment capability can only accelerate. Enrichment alone does not yield a weapon. A nation must also master implosion physics, synchronized high explosives, miniaturization, and delivery systems. But it does compress timelines. Iran's existing enrichment infrastructure has already shortened its potential breakout time to weeks, according to Western intelligence assessments. Replicating that capability in Saudi Arabia, even under IAEA safeguards without the additional protocol, introduces a second potential threshold state in a region where Israel has demonstrated willingness to use force preemptively against nuclear programs. Congressional math, votes, timelines, and the 123 review process under the Atomic Energy Act, nuclear cooperation agreements require congressional review. Both chambers have the opportunity to pass a joint resolution of disapproval within 90 days of submission. If such a resolution passes both the House and Senate, the President can veto it, and Congress would need a two-thirds supermajority in both chambers to override. The political arithmetic is uncertain. Nonproliferation hawks in both parties will balk at approving enrichment capability for a country whose de facto leader has openly linked his nuclear ambitions to Iran's. Defense hawks will weigh the value of deeper Saudi alignment against proliferation risk. Energy and industrial interests will note the commercial upside for U.S. Nuclear firms, which have watched Russia and China dominate reactor exports for the past decade. The agreement's 30-year duration magnifies the stakes. It locks in enrichment rights through 2056 across multiple U.S. and Saudi administrations through regional dynamics impossible to forecast. The absence of the additional protocol removes the IAEA's enhanced inspection authority, leaving a monitoring regime weaker than the one that failed to prevent Iran's program from advancing to its current state. The deal also requires Congress to assess the agreement against the backdrop of the active U.S.-Iran war. The conflict, now in its second week, has disrupted energy flows through both the Strait of Hormuz and the Bab el-Mandeb, sending crude prices higher and complicating U.S. diplomacy across Asia and Europe. Enabling Saudi enrichment capability while simultaneously bombing Iran's nuclear infrastructure creates rhetorical challenges that opponents will exploit. The Indo-Pacific ripple, Asian allies calibrate nuclear hedges, the Saudi decision will reverberate beyond the Middle East. U.S. allies in Asia, particularly South Korea and Japan, have long debated their own nuclear options as North Korea's arsenal expands and China's strategic forces modernize. Both countries possess advanced civilian nuclear programs and the technical capability to weaponize on short timelines. Both have historically refrained, in part because of U.S. security guarantees, and in part because of the global nonproliferation norm the U.S. has championed. That norm is now visibly eroding. If Washington grants enrichment rights to Saudi Arabia, a country with no existing civilian nuclear infrastructure, and a leader who has openly discussed weaponization, it becomes harder to deny similar technology to treaty allies with decades of reactor operating experience and transparent safeguards records. South Korea's political opposition already questions the value of extended deterrence in an era when North Korea can strike the U.S. mainland. Japan's defense debate has shifted toward counterstrike capabilities and constitutional reinterpretation. The Saudi precedent adds fuel to latent nuclear hedging conversations in both capitals. The timing compounds the challenge. Rubio met Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi in Manila on Wednesday to discuss preparations for President Xi Jinping's visit to the U.S. In September, Wang demanded the U.S. respect China's core interests and address China's legitimate concerns, language that typically encompasses Taiwan, the South China Sea, and regional security architecture. China has consistently framed U.S. extended deterrence commitments as destabilizing, arguing they encourage allies to free ride on American power while threatening Chinese security. A U.S. decision to enable Saudi enrichment, delivered while managing alliance commitments across Asia, gives Beijing rhetorical ammunition and Asian allies new reasons to question American consistency. Japan's recent defense cooperation with India illustrates how allies are hedging. The two countries are exploring co-development of Megami-class frigates and have deepened naval cooperation through technology transfers and joint exercises, signaling a shift from operational coordination to defense industrial integration. The moves reflect a broader trend. Allies are building indigenous capabilities to reduce dependence on U.S. platforms and commitments. The Saudi enrichment decision will accelerate that calculus. The Plaquemium view the Trump administration is making a calculated wager that the commercial and strategic benefits of deeper Saudi alignment outweigh proliferation risks that may not materialize for years, if ever. That wager discounts three critical factors. First, the precedent effect is immediate, not hypothetical. The moment the U.S. approves enrichment for a state with no existing civilian program and explicit weaponization intent, every other U.S. partner with stronger nonproliferation credentials has grounds to demand equivalent treatment. South Korea, Japan, the UAE, and Turkey will all revisit their nuclear postures. The nonproliferation regime, already strained by North Korean and Iranian advances, loses its most powerful enforcer as a credible norm setter. Second, the monitoring gap is structural. Without the additional protocol, the IAEA lacks the inspection authority needed to detect covert facilities or diverted material. Iran demonstrated the inadequacy of baseline safeguards. Saudi Arabia will operate under a weaker framework, in a region where intelligence on nuclear programs has repeatedly failed to prevent surprises. The 30-year agreement duration ensures that monitoring gaps will persist across administrations with different threat assessments and enforcement priorities. Third, the regional security dynamic is accelerating in the wrong direction. The U.S.-Iran war has already prompted Pakistan to publicly link its nuclear arsenal to Saudi defense. That linkage predates indigenous Saudi enrichment capability. Once the kingdom possesses its own fissile material production, the firebreak between extended deterrence and direct proliferation collapses. The probability of a three-way nuclear competition between Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, each with different doctrines, command structures, and risk tolerances, rises materially. The deal also reflects a broader shift in U.S. nonproliferation strategy under Trump. Rather than using access to American nuclear technology as leverage to extract concessions on enrichment, the administration is granting enrichment rights as the price of strategic alignment. That inverts the traditional bargain and removes U.S. negotiating leverage with other partners seeking similar deals. From a capital allocation perspective, the risk-reward is unfavorable. U.S. nuclear firms will capture revenue from reactor construction and fuel supply, but those commercial benefits accrue to a narrow set of vendors. The proliferation risks, by contrast, are systemic and fall on the entire alliance structure. If the Saudi program accelerates regional proliferation, the U.S. will face higher defense spending to manage more nuclear-armed adversaries and allies, elevated crisis instability, an increased probability of nuclear use. Those costs dwarf the commercial upside. The more defensible approach would have been to offer reactor technology without enrichment, mirroring the UAE model, and to use the enrichment question as leverage for broader Saudi commitments on human rights, Yemen, oil production coordination, and normalization with Israel. The current deal delivers enrichment capability up front and receives strategic alignment that may prove transactional and reversible. The bottom line, congressional review is the last pressure point. The agreement now moves to Congress, where the 90-day review period offers the final opportunity to modify or block the deal. Lawmakers should focus on three amendments, requiring the additional protocol as a condition of enrichment, imposing a material breach clause that automatically suspends U.S. cooperation if Saudi Arabia weaponizes, and mandating annual intelligence community assessments on program status and diversion risk. Without those safeguards, this agreement trades short-term strategic convenience for long-term proliferation risk in the world's most volatile region. The U.S. has spent 2 weeks bombing one Middle Eastern country to prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon. It is now enabling another to acquire the most sensitive technology on the path to that same capability. That contradiction will define the regional security environment for the next generation. The question is whether Congress will endorse it or demand a better bargain.